Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Knowledgeable.
Listen, here's what's wrong with your hypothesis, your theorem, your supposition, your postulate.
Honest.
If that front ain't in gangsta, your back end won't be able to show its full potential.
Understanding.
You're going to suck. You're going to suck for the next couple of years.
Passionate.
I'm all over social media. I live it.
This is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Hashtag facts.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Now, here's Kevin.
J.P. Finley. Excuse me. J.P. Finley will be on the show this morning at 7:25. Tarek El-Bashir will be on at 8 a.m. Hockey season starts tonight, and the NHL has said they are going to lose millions and millions of dollars, maybe approaching $1 billion, to play this season. How are they going to do it? How are they going to survive? Tarek El-Bashir from The Athletic joins us. We'll obviously preview the Caps' upcoming season as well. They open up their season tomorrow night at Buffalo. Back-to-back games. I don't know if you've looked at a hockey schedule this year, but basically you're playing two in back-to-back against the same opponent to keep down on the travel. At Buffalo Thursday, at Buffalo Friday, at Pittsburgh Sunday, and then at Pittsburgh on Tuesday, and then they come home for Buffalo, Buffalo, New York, New York, Boston, Boston. That's the way it goes in the NHL this year. Big changes, obviously, for the Capitals, including their head coach. So we will talk to Tarek El-Bashir and do 15 minutes on hockey at 8 a.m. J.P. Finley, as I mentioned, before that at 7:25. And I want you to start thinking about an answer to this question. Is this year different? Simply put, was this season the beginning of something different? We have been here before, not that much, but occasionally over the years at the end of a season, we have been optimistic as a fan base. I'm not suggesting that all of you are optimistic, but I have this sense from, you know, social media responses, callers, friends, everybody that I know that is part of this community of Washington football fans. There seems to be a level of optimism that we haven't had in a while. You know, you'd have to go back to the end of 2015 for some optimism, 2012 for sure. Is this different? Is this going to be different? Is this optimistic feeling going to lead to something? Or is it going to be typical Washington, which is once every 4, 5, 6 years, a blind squirrel finds a nut, and you have a nice season that leaves you with a really good feeling going into the offseason, but it doesn't really amount to much in terms of sustained winning. So start thinking about your answer to that. Okay, was this the beginning of a run, or is it just the typical Washington every blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while season? I think it's a very complex answer. And with any of these answers, ultimately, you do have to consider the owner. For those of you that say, stop it on management and the owner, this is different, you're naive. Okay, and you are going to allow the ignoring of history to eventually repeat itself. So we will have that conversation coming up this hour, but I want you to start thinking about if you legitimately believe, okay, you're optimistic right now, and I understand why, but do you legitimately believe that this is the, this one's different, this time is different, this is the beginning of a run, this is the beginning of being a competitive postseason NFL team over a period of time, a legitimate contending postseason team year in and year out for a while now? Or was it what we've always gotten, which is, hey, great year, we're optimistic about the next, and then it's another 5 years before anything good happens? Chris Cooley on my podcast yesterday did, it was, I would urge all of you to listen to this one. Let me just say that he is very optimistic about a player from Saturday night's game, that player being Taylor Heinicke. Very optimistic. And he broke down each of the fourth quarter drives. And in that breakdown of the fourth quarter offensive drives, you're going to hear a lot of what he believes Taylor Heinicke is and where he can go. And I'm going to play that back for you in about 20, 25 minutes somewhere in that time frame. Also, I do want to absolutely confirm one thing as far as my position on the quarterback situation right now. Matt Stafford is my number one, period. Matt Stafford is my number one. I was very impressed with Heinicke. I want them to re-sign Heinicke if they can. I want them to keep him here, and I want him to come in. And if they can't trade for Stafford, and it, or if they can't trade for another veteran that, if this is from my perspective, that I am bullish about, then I am fine with going Kyle Allen, Taylor Heinicke, battle it out, and let's use draft capital on other positions, middle linebacker, corner, safety, wide receiver, left tackle. I'm fine with that. Maybe even a young quarterback for the future. Although, let's not forget that Allen and Heinicke, quarterback-wise, are pretty young. You know, it's not like we're talking about guys that, if they end up taking the job over, are only cut out for a five-year run. No. I mean, Heinicke's 27. Allen is in that same general range, right? I actually didn't look up his age. I'm going to do that right now. Kyle Allen is 24. So what are we talking about? You know, if you believe that Kyle Allen and or Taylor Heinicke is your potential future starter and a franchise quarterback, you don't have to really worry about drafting the next one. One of those two, if you sign them both and bring them back and you're confident in them, one of those two is your next one. I don't have a problem with that strategy either. But my number one would be Matt Stafford. What do I think they need to give up for him? No less than a second, third player. And more likely, I think, with a guy like Stafford, if he's even made available, I think you might have to give up a first-round pick. Would I do it? I would. I would do it. I'm a big Stafford fan. I've been a big Stafford fan for forever. A couple of you reminded me that even though I was a big Cousins fan, even back in 2015, 2016, I always said I would take Matt Stafford. Whenever we did the conversation of who would you take in, you know, in front of Cousins, obviously there were always an obvious 8 to 9, 10 guys. And Stafford I always took before him. And I would now too. I would take Stafford in front of Allen, and I would take Stafford in front of a guy that's played six, played basically four and a half quarters in Taylor Heinicke. I would. And I would give up, you know, serious draft capital, including a first rounder, to secure him. I do not want this opportunity with a good defense that's emerging and growing into perhaps a very good, if not elite, defense. I don't want that wasted. By the way, that defensive conversation will lead to my answer on whether or not this one is different, whether or not this time is different. All right, let's get to a couple of what do you gots.
All right, all right, all right.
What do you got?
So I'm going to start with what I watched last night. First of all, I started to watch, and I got through half of, I think it's the first episode of this Tiger documentary. Wow. I cannot wait to get home today because I watched basketball first last night, and I'm going to get to that second here. But this Tiger documentary on HBO, I don't know, my son had saved it. I think it's on HBO, is something else, man. It is an incredible look, and the tape and the film they have of his father and him when he is super young is incredible. This is an inner circle Tiger Woods look, and I cannot wait to get to the rest of it, and I will definitely share this and my thoughts on this when it is over. But I started it last night, and it is incredible. You know, his father, man, and that relationship is not what everybody thought it was. I'll leave it at that. There is a lot of salacious stuff already in this documentary, and some of the best stuff involving, like, Rachel Yucatel and some of the stuff that happened in 2009, etc., is on the way. All right, I think I mentioned this, that there was a college basketball game last night that I was very much looking forward to watching, because I've actually been watching a lot of college hoops this year. It's actually great. I mean, what sucks about college hoops is the same thing that sort of sucked about college football, is the best thing about college sports is just the entry of it. You know, certainly football, but in college basketball, I mean, you're into January and you've got conference games and you've got heavyweight matchups and you've got incredible home court advantages. And you're not getting that, obviously, right now. But I mentioned when Maryland lost to Michigan a few weeks ago that I thought Michigan was the second best team that I had watched all year. And, you know, that could have been a little bit skewed by the fact that I'm a Maryland guy and they had just overcome a 4-point second half deficit. Daryl Morsell got hurt in that game. They went on a run and they beat Maryland by 11 at Xfinity Center. But I remember coming in here the next day, Anthony, and saying, that is the best team other than Gonzaga that I've watched this year. And at the time, I think they had gotten to 7-0, maybe 8-0. And the truth was, at that point, they really hadn't beaten anybody. They had started. Juwan Howard had started with a rather benign schedule. You know, these schedules got really shortened in terms of the non-con games. They didn't play anybody big time in the non-conference leading up to it. In fact, they weren't even a part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge this year. Or if they were, and if my memory serves me correctly, maybe they had the game postponed. But Maryland was their first, you know, test, a real test. They were fired up coming into College Park. They lost to Maryland last year in the final game of the season where the Terps clinched a share of the Big Ten title. That was the last game before the pandemic. And I watched them that night, and I'm like, whoa. This team's something else, man. That's the best team I have seen other than Gonzaga. To be fair, I've not really watched Baylor. Baylor's the number two team in the country, if you didn't know that, in men's basketball. I think they're probably top two or three in women's basketball as well. I don't know that for a fact. They usually are. They're number two. I have not seen a lot of Baylor. I've seen a lot of Villanova. They're very good. I'm excited about Shaka Smart. I'm glad Texas was patient with Shaka Smart because I've always liked Shaka Smart as a coach, and Texas is really good. Texas is not Michigan. Michigan, on that next morning, I said, I think they're the second best team in the country, and I think they can win the national championship. Gonzaga really is a special team this year, if you haven't watched them. Anyway, let me jump to last night. I said on the show, maybe late in the show, I can't remember when I said it, that I'm really looking forward to watching Michigan and Wisconsin because I think Wisconsin's a very good team as well. Wisconsin has had two losses on the year, one of them to Maryland. Maryland's got two of the best road wins in the Big Ten, even though they're only 2-5 in the Big Ten. They beat Illinois over the weekend, and they had beaten Wisconsin in Madison about 3 weeks ago. But Wisconsin had been destroying people. They beat Louisville by 40 points. They destroyed Michigan State. They destroyed Minnesota. They beat Indiana pretty solidly, although that game was close. But I really thought Wisconsin's style. Anthony, what did I tell you yesterday? I forget if it was on the air or off the air. I said Wisconsin's style is going to give Michigan their first real test. The line was 3. It reeked. And I actually bet Wisconsin plus the 3, even though I've been saying all year Michigan is as impressive as any team I've seen other than Gonzaga. But the line was short and the public was all over Michigan. Well, this is one where the public was 100% right. At one point in this game, between the number 5 team and the number 9 team in the country, Michigan had a 40-point lead. It was 69-29 in the second half with 10 minutes to go. 69-29. Wisconsin had scored 6 points over, listen to this, over a 17-minute period of game time. They got to 23 points with 6:50 to go in the first half and didn't score again until there were 10 minutes to go in the second half. Meantime, Michigan had gone from a 3-point lead to a 40-point lead. Juwan Howard, man. You know the best thing about Juwan Howard is he came into Michigan following a legend in John Beilein, okay? John Beilein was getting it done at Michigan, getting to championship games, getting to Final Fours in championship games. And Juwan Howard, after Beilein jumped to the NBA, here comes Juwan Howard in. One of the most famous alums from the most famous Michigan team of all time. And you know what Juwan Howard, who had never been a head coach, did? He started hiring some of the best assistants in the game. Howard Eisley, all right, Chris Sadie Washington. And then when Phil Martelli got fired at St. Joe's, he hired Phil Martelli, one of the more successful head coaches in a long, long time. All right, they got a guy who was a head coach in the MAC, I think at Central Michigan or Western Michigan or Eastern Michigan, I forget where, who is basically a player development guy on the staff. I love that about Juwan Howard. Love that. You know, Patrick Ewing did the same thing at Georgetown. Not a lot of head coaching experience and no ego to bring in guys who were successful head coaches to be a part of his staff. They have the number one recruiting class coming in next year in college basketball. And already this year, in Howard's second year, they are right now, in my mind's eye, the second best team in the country. Again, I have not seen Baylor. They were up against a team that is so well coached, so well disciplined, and really good. They were beating that team by 40 points. They ended up winning by 23. You see that a lot. You know, if the team's up by 30 or 40, you know, at the end of the game, you put in all your other players, and it ends up being a 25-point game or a 20-point game. Maryland was up 4 in the second half against Michigan, which was remarkable. And then Daryl Morsell got hurt, and that really changed the game. But I'm going to tell you right now, I was watching that game. I didn't think Maryland was going to win the game. I could tell how much better Michigan was. And they pulled away, and they went up by, I think, 18 or 19 and ended up winning by 11. Michigan's got a couple of players I want you to watch if you are into college hoops or if you're about to get into college hoops as the NFL season's winding down. Hunter Dickinson's a freshman from DeMatha. He's the kid that, you know, started to complain about how Turgeon didn't recruit him, which was a total lie. Turgeon offered the kid when he was a sophomore. He didn't want to go to Maryland. He wanted to go away to school. Hunter Dickinson's having basically one of the best freshman seasons in the country. He's averaging 17.5 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, and about somewhere between a blocked shot to a blocked shot and a half, somewhere around there a game. He's having a fabulous freshman season. He's great moves, great hands, great feet, the whole thing. Franz Wagner, who is Mo Wagner's brother, younger brother. Mo Wagner plays for the Wizards. Franz Wagner, is the best pro prospect on the team. I mentioned that the day after the Maryland game. I said, this kid has just grown. He is a 6'9", 230-pound everything. He can play on the post. He can face up. He's got a great stroke and shoots a great three. He can really shoot it from depth. He can drive by you and dunk on you. He blocks shots. He's long. He's an NBA player. He's a sophomore, and it's funny, after the Maryland game, I was talking to somebody, and I said, he is going to be a lottery pick. And that person said, he's not even on anybody's mock draft board. A week later, he was on, you know, everybody's mock draft board, late first, early second. I think by the time this season's over, Franz Wagner is going to be a lottery pick somewhere in the top half of the NBA draft. He is sensational. And then they have a couple of guys, especially Isaiah Livers, who can really shoot it, who seems like he's been at Michigan for 10 years. And they're well coached. Man, they are fun to watch. They are so good defensively. And then they get out and they run and they dunk. They're athletic. Michigan beat Wisconsin by 23, but they were up by 40 in the second half with 10 minutes to go. Maybe one of the most impressive wins of the year by anybody. By the way, Maryland was looking to follow up this win against Illinois with a win against Nebraska this weekend, which would have put them at 3-5 in the league. You know, if you're not familiar with the Big Ten, it's the best league. It's not even close, top to bottom. There's no league that's remotely close to as good as the Big Ten is. And if you are out of 20 games, if you go 8-12 in the Big Ten this year, but you've got a couple of good wins, you're going to be in the tournament. Maryland in the bracketology areas right now, they're either in the field or on, you know, like the, I think Lunardi had them as the second team out in his bracketology yesterday. They got to get to 8 or 9 wins. They do not have to have a winning record in the Big Ten, and they'll be in the tournament. Now, I don't know if they can get to 8 or 9 wins. The schedule's brutal. And the game against Nebraska this weekend was postponed. Nebraska's got COVID issues. I don't know if they'll make that game up or not. I think they've been trying to make those games up. But who knows? Unfortunately for them, their now next scheduled game is Michigan a week from last night in Ann Arbor. Oh, boy. Watch the Tiger documentary and keep an eye on the Michigan Wolverines in college basketball. They are loaded. They are well coached. They are going to, they've got the top recruiting class coming in next year. Forget about next year. They've got a chance to win the national championship in Juwan Howard's second year in Ann Arbor. They are something else, man. They are fun to watch. Again, the only thing that just stinks, it really stinks, is that you get no home court advantages. Chrysler Arena would have been fabulous last night with an undefeated team ranked 5th in the country against the number 9 team in the country. That would have been fun to watch with the crowd. But you're not going to get that this year. Maybe we'll get that at the very end of the year. Is that even possible? Probably not. Anyway, how about Juwan Howard and the job he's done at Michigan? Last year, 19-12, 10-10. They were going to the tournament last year. I think they would have been in the field in his first year, and this year, undefeated. I don't know who's – they're going to lose in the Big Ten because it's just so good, but they're not going to lose many in the Big Ten. I think they will win the Big Ten regular season. All right, when we come back, Cooley, as part of his film breakdown yesterday on my podcast, did it a little bit differently where he went through drive by drive and talked about key drives in the game and would evaluate various players on each of those drives and plays. I'm going to play for you the three drives of the fourth quarter. Okay, when they were down 21-16 and they got the ball back, one of the few times they got the ball back from the defense and had a chance to take the lead. And then the two drives, the one that cut it to 28-23, and then the final drive of the game where they had a chance to go down to the field, go down the field and tie. The reason I'm going to play it for you is I think you'll want to hear what he says about Taylor Heinicke and the way he played in that fourth quarter. That's what we'll do next. And then I want you to start thinking about whether or not your optimism is different this time. If you think that this time there's a chance that this one is real, that Ron Rivera is the right guy, that the team has a chance for sustained success, or if it'll end up being same old, which is 1 year excited, optimistic, but then we got to wait another 4 or 5 years for some sort of decent season. We'll do that after we talk to Cooley, JP Finley, 725, Tariq El-Bashir at 8, Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com. We're also on the radio.com app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Hey, Window Nation is kicking off the new year with their most popular deal. Call today, put no money down and make no payments and pay no interest for 2 full years. Get 2 free windows for every 2 you buy. Call 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. This is really an incredible deal. They're basically giving you 2 of their best deals rolled in to 1. So call them at 866-90-NATION. Go to windownation.com and mention my name that I told you to call. All right, Cooley, in his final film breakdowns of the year on my podcast, he did the offense yesterday. He'll do the defense today, and I will definitely bring that into the show tomorrow morning to see what he thought about Chase Young and the defense's performance after our conversation yesterday. I would urge you to go listen. And for those of you that don't know how to do a podcast, I'm always fascinated by many of you who will tweet me and say, I don't know how to do a podcast. So it's really not that hard. You know, if you've got an iPhone, I can't tell you what it looks like on an Android or whatever. There's this like purple icon and it says podcasts, and if you click that icon and hit the search button for the Kevin Sheehan Show, it'll be right there on your phone. But if that's too difficult, just go to thekevinsheehanshow.com. And if you do that, there's like a big button right there that makes it really easy. Like it'll pop up and it'll show today's show, and there's a big, you know, sort of purplish blue play button. And if you hit that and you turn your volume up, you'll be able to listen to it. Cooley's film breakdown, he's been doing all year long. He's been doing offense on Tuesday, defense on Wednesday, and I've been bringing some of that to the show. Now, yesterday in his final film breakdown of the year, he decided to essentially go through the entire game offensively, drive by drive, and talk about, you know, the players on each drive. Now, he did end up grading Taylor Heinicke. But what I wanted you to listen to was the fourth quarter, because his description of the way Heinicke played in the fourth quarter of the game on the three drives that they had. Remember, their final three drives of the game were a three-and-out punt early in the fourth quarter down 21-16. Then the touchdown drive when they were down 28-16 that made it 28-23. And then after they were able to stop Tampa Bay, in the red zone and force a field goal, they had that one last opportunity with 2 minutes and 49 seconds left down 31-23. The reason I picked this slug to play is because there's so much Taylor Heinicke discussion from Cooley. So here it is.
In the fourth quarter, 21-16, critical drive. First play of the game, RPO. Should have been an illegal lineman downfield. He does a good job throwing a bounce pass.
Yeah.
Heinicke does.
Yeah.
He also does a good job reading this out. I think he could have banged the slant to Sims Jr. on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
The corner over the top of Sims Jr. on the inside. They have two receivers to the left. The corner inside bails outside towards the hitch. He could have either thrown the hitch outside, which he probably would have gotten. He could have banged the tight window slant to Sims Jr. But this is an illegal lineman downfield that they didn't call.
Yeah, Morgan Moses.
Morgan Moses, 5 yards downfield when this ball's out. They got away with one there.
More than five.
Second and 10, they go with the spacing concept. Then they swing the back out. Four receivers hooking up at 5 yards. They swing the back out. He's late to get the ball to the swing. All the receivers are covered. This is the Alex Smith play. Alex, right now, boom, I know, swing. You end up getting a 1 yard gain. Third and 9, Morgan Moses beat on a stunt by Pierre Paul. This is a risky throw. You know, Logan Thomas is actually open on this third and 9 route.
Mm-hmm.
He's running the corner route. He is open. There's just no time to throw it in timing. Morgan's beat too quick. He knew he was open, and he still tried to make the throw. Punt. Critical 3 and out in that situation.
Yep. Yeah, that was
critical.
That was the drive. And not only that, you're punting, and they're going to get decent field position, which they got. And unfortunately, this is where, you know, just couldn't stop them the rest of the way.
Yeah. So you give up a touchdown. Now it's 28-18 with 9:11 left in the fourth quarter. You got to have it. This has got to have it.
28-16.
Yeah, 28-16, excuse me. You got to have it. Good job on a check down to Sprinkle on the first play. Zone run play on the second and 2. Maybe a cut back, but he bounces outside. He gets a first down. Great. First and 10 at the 37. Baller throw to Cam Sims in the seam. It's a four-vert situation. Sprinkles alone to the left. You got three receivers to the right. On the inside is Logan Thomas. I actually, on this first and 10 at the 37, think that he can throw over the top to Logan Thomas for a bigger play. The question is, does the backside corner, the corner to his left, fall off into this? My answer is, I don't think he does. That said, he does do a good enough job holding the safety with his eyes to bang the seam on Cam Sims, and we get a 23-yard throw. We're moving the ball. We're down to the 40-yard line.
He's good, as you would say.
Yeah,
look, you could watch that verts on the first and 10 at the 37 and say maybe he could get Logan Thomas, and I think he could. But it's hard to take a 23-yard completion and say, do better.
Right.
Fine with it. First and 10 at the 40. Throws a flat to Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas gets yard-selled 4 yards downfield on the sideline. No one gets yard-selled more than Logan Thomas. He gets yard-selled more than my grandmother in Powell, Wyoming.
You are really tough on him.
This is not a critical thing. Think of all the times he's on the sideline and taking a big, weird, awkward hit.
I know, but you just tough on tight ends in general. I mean, it's okay.
Well, this is not a tough thing. He makes a good play for 4 yards. It's not like he's getting six. He just awkwardly goes down a lot on the sideline.
Yeah, well, he slid for a while, too.
Yeah, well, it's full on yards, though.
Yeah.
Second 6, he had a flat to Gibson.
Yep.
Right now, I like it. Third and 3 at the 33. Logan Thomas is over the ball. They're running that bingo cross, that crosser short one. Same throws he missed in the third quarter. Hits it first down. We're moving the chains. Kev, we're moving the chains. First and 10 at the 28. He hits a check down. It's a good choice. It's good pocket movement to throw that ball. He has good pocket movement. He's got good feel, man. He's got good feel. I love that about him. Second 9 at the 27. Baller throw. Again, deep crossing route with an underneath shallow. deep throw to Terry McLaurin, baller throw. The dude, he subtly moves on the second nine at the 27, subtly slides in the pocket to throw this thing. He knows how to find windows to throw the ball. I'm going nuts over Heinicke right now.
I can tell.
I mean, I just, he is, he's playing great ball in this game. So now you're down to the 11-yard line. He sells one over the top of Logan Thomas's head on a deep out route. It's a good throwaway. The corner fell off this thing, and it's going to be a pick if he throws it to Logan. He sensed it. He threw it over his head. The second 10 at 11 is a bad throw. Bad idea. They run two deep ends right at the goal line with the wheel outside of it. The backer's sitting on it. This probably should be picked.
Is this the Levante David play?
The Levante David play.
Yeah.
Now, again, he's trying to make plays down the field.
Yeah.
And I, trust me, I totally get this. But since the coverage pre-snap, you look at this pre-snap on the second and 10, and Tampa has that umbrella four deep across the board. So you can see that it's going to be quarters coverage. To his right, Terry McLaurin's in the slot, which means he's matched up underneath the linebacker. Terry McLaurin's running a quicker out route. He throws it to Terry. He might score. He's definitely getting yards. You got to match up one-on-one with Terry and the linebacker. That's the throw. He forces it inside. Got away with one right there.
Third and 10.
Did anybody doubt that he's going to make a dynamic throw on the corner to Sims Jr.? Great route, great throw, great catch, pressure in his face from off of Cornelius Lucas. Touchdown.
What a
all hell, Taylor Heinicke. Back in the game.
What a great again. Throw. What a great throw.
We're back in the game because of one dude.
Uh-huh.
What a throw.
28-23. We hold them to a field goal, and here it is. 2:49 left. Final drive. And then we'll get to a grade on Heinicke. Let's talk about this final drive.
Final drive. First throw. Slide. Great slide in the pocket. Throw the deep end to Terry McLaurin. 16-yard gain. Ball's a little behind him, but Heinicke's moving away from the throw. He's moving, sliding left, throwing back across his body right to McLaurin, and you get a completion. Love it. Makes another good throw to Cam Sims on a comeback. Really good job by Sims attacking the ball on that comeback. We got the ball at midfield, Kev.
And by the way, without having to use a timeout, without being at the two-minute warning because of back-to-back defensive holding calls, which stopped the clock.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
First and 10, midfield. Bad ball on a deep in by Cam Sims. Threw it behind him.
Right.
Miss a couple.
Right.
It's bad ball to Sims. Second and 10. You got plenty of time left with 2:27 in this game. Plenty of time. Things are good. Keep in mind, you haven't thrown one screen all day.
All the bubbles that we saw all year, right?
All the little bubbles, all the little things. You end up throwing a flat to McKissick. Come on, McKissick. JD.
This is a catch and a fumble. Ball. This is a catch and a fumble, though.
Should have been a catch and a fumble, but just catch the ball. He bobbled it.
I know, but it's a big difference between third and five and third and 10. They didn't have a timeout to challenge it. So, you know, we were pre 2-minute warning at that point, but I do not think that this is an incomplete pass. That is a catch and a fumble. And you see the referee, you know, throw the marker down to indicate the fumble. And then they changed it and they called incomplete pass. And now it's third and 10 instead of third and five.
I know. It's brutal.
I still thought they were going to make it.
Third and 10. You want to talk about his chance to make money.
I know.
This is it. I want you to watch this. Anybody watching it, if you don't have it, pull it up on the regular game if you can see it. They're running they were running bread and butter. Bingo cross.
They ran it a lot.
Cam Sims on the 14-yard dig. Steven Sims on the shallow cross. You got pressure. If you pause this before he starts to move right in the pocket, if he lets this go in timing, he's got Sims, yeah. Cam Sims on the deep end behind the linebacker. Yeah. If he throws it on the opposite hash. If you pause it again, Steven Sims Jr. is going to continue running on his crossing route, which he's running back downhill like a dolt instead of continuing straight across the field. But he's probably going to get
a first
8 yards.
No, first.
The backside corner is going to tackle him.
If
I don't know where.
First of all, he's got to catch it. But assuming he catches it, assuming he catches it, I think he gets the first down on this Cooley. By the way, I think that should have been the throw right away.
It could have. I think if he lets it go, now maybe he gets strip sacked. But if he lets it go to Cam Sims, in a perfect world, he's open. There's a window. Either way, third possibility here, just run.
Well, he's sort of tried to do that.
No. As he hits his fifth step, he slides right. And after his first slide right, look at the window between Morgan Moses and Brandon Sheriff.
Yeah, I see that.
And then he continues to flush right.
Yeah.
God. He's going to run for the first down.
So do you think he really – this is the play that – obviously, this is a money play. It's third and 10. You're down 31-23. You know, you got 2:22 left, and you got to convert. You got to move the chains, and he missed a couple of throws here.
He missed a couple of throws, and he missed an opportunity to run. And I'm not saying that you're going to say he can't. You're not going to pay him because of this play, or you're not going to keep him. But you want to continue to build this resume. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then the throw to Logan Thomas. I like the idea. You know, they're way soft. You gave your guy a chance in a jump ball situation. I think it could have come out a little bit earlier, but he's flying all over the field. So that leads me to this.
Are you going to give the grade?
Heinicke,
hold on. And that's where we'll leave it off. If you want to hear what the grade was, you can go to the KevinSheehanShow.com or just get the podcast any way you want. He was very complimentary, let me tell you, about Taylor Heinicke, and he absolutely believes that Taylor Heinicke can play in this league and should be given a shot to compete for the starting job next year. All right, when we come back, phone lines are open at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I want to get your feeling now that the season's over. My sense is many of you are optimistic. If you're not, that's fine. You can call too and explain why. But the question is simple. Was this season different? Was this the season that is finally the beginning of some sort of run? Some sort of run of sustained success? Or is it what it's always been before? A one-offer? You know, a once in a while, the blind squirrel finds a nut. Which of the two is it and why? If you're really optimistic that this is the beginning of something, I want you to tell me why. If you're not, I also want you to tell me why. 301-230-0980. I'll have my answer for you as well when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
All right, this is a new feature, sort of replacing the updates that we used to do. What's trending? Well, the NBA has canceled or postponed, the Utah Wizards game scheduled for tonight for COVID-19 protocols. The league says because of contact tracing, the Wizards don't have the required 8 available players to take the floor for their scheduled home game against Utah. Meantime, last night in the NBA, Houston lost to the Lakers 117-100. James Harden after the game, quote, "We're just not good enough. I love this city. I literally have done everything that I can do. I mean, this situation is crazy. It's something I don't think can be fixed." Closed quote. John Wall, his new teammate, said, quote, "It's a little rocky. I don't think it's the best it could be." Closed quote. NFL news, Brian Schottenheimer is out after 3 years working with Pete Carroll in Seattle as the offensive coordinator. Bears defensive coordinator and longtime coach Chuck Pagano is retiring. Matt Nagy is staying, according to reports, as the Bears head coach. Lamar Jackson has never played a game in the snow and said he doesn't want to. And yet Buffalo has snow in the forecast for Saturday night, a 40% chance of snow showers with a chance of at least an inch of accumulation. College basketball last night, 20th-ranked Virginia Tech beat 19th-ranked Duke 74-67. And as I talked about earlier in the show, 5th-ranked Michigan remained undefeated with a 77-54 blowout over 9th-ranked Wisconsin. The Wolverines at one point in the game led by 40 points. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. So, was this season the beginning of a run, or was it typical Washington of the last 20-plus years? Every once in a while, a blind squirrel finds a nut. And we'll be right back to where we were for the next few years, being irrelevant. What do you think? I'm asking this question because I do sense optimism. And I think it's justifiable in many ways. Look, the first thing I would tell you is that this is different from 2015 in that 2015's defense had no promise. It was a terrible defense, one of the worst. 2016's defense was even worse than 2015's. There was no promise of any sort of significant improvement. And I just personally, even though most of you know that I was a big Kirk Cousins fan, still am, and I thought that the offense had a chance to really be a playoff offense, and I think it was for those few years, you need defense to have any legit chance of making a deep run unless you've got Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback. You know, unless you've got somebody like that, Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, which they didn't, obviously. So I wasn't super confident about, you know, the sustainability of that. And then we got into the whole, you know, issue of them not even keeping the quarterback that I thought gave them the best chance to be competitive. It's different than that because they have a defense that you can be excited about. But it's also different because they have Ron Rivera. And that group had Jay Gruden. That group also had Bruce Allen in the organization. That group also had Dan Snyder owning the team. And so that's why I would say, look, those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. I've been there, done that before in being optimistic about a season, being optimistic about a future based on a season like the one that was just completed. I was after 2012. I was after 2015. I'm not going to lie to you. I was after 2010. I actually thought they had the right guy, they had the right staff, and that he was going to figure out the quarterback situation, and he was going to continue to add talent, and he really ultimately, you know, figured it out. Had an incredible season with a rookie quarterback, Mike did, but we know how that one ended. Look, the most optimistic I have been by far over the last 20 years was at the end of the 2001 season, which now is a long, long time ago. But I was very optimistic that in Marty Schottenheimer, the young owner had found a guy that was going to win and win over a long period of time. And whether or not he was going to win a Super Bowl, because he didn't in Cleveland, or Kansas City, I still felt that they had the right guy. And I thought that this was the guy that was going to turn it around. And after that disastrous 2000 season, it was going to be more professional moving forward. I feel the same way about Ron Rivera. I do. I feel like they've got a professional. They have a decent human being. They have a good football coach. They have a guy that understood the culture he was inheriting and understood that it had to change. But the owner is still there. And so as long as the owner is still there, I can't say definitively that this is different. It doesn't mean that my optimism isn't there, because I tend to be more hopeful, especially when it comes to the team that I root for and that I love. And I've been in this position before of being probably too hopeful about this team. I'm not going to sit here and buy in hook, line, and sinker and be a fool again. But I do like the head coach, and I like the defense. And I think that's why this time has a chance to be different than 2015 or even 2012. They still have to get a quarterback. I am cautiously optimistic, but I am not naive enough to think that it's an absolute lock that this time is different, because every time I've thought that in the past, I've been made to look a fool. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Take your calls on this next. J.P. Finley at 725. Was this the season that marks the beginning of a run? Okay, when I say a run, I'm talking about sustained winning seasons and playoff games. I'm not talking about Super Bowls or Super Bowl appearances. All right, how about let's just get a five-year run of making the playoffs in four of them and winning 10 or 11 games two or three times? Can that happen? Your call's next, 301-230-0980. J.P. Finley at 725. We'll talk a little hockey with Tariq El-Bashir at 8.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.